Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Welcome to Disney Brit, episode 72 for Wednesday, the 20th of July. And joining me, as always, it is Juz. Hello, Juz.
Hello, Disney pod people. Hello, Adam. And it's Thursday.
Yes. See, I knew you were going to do that. How did I know? The first thing you'd say was, it's Thursday. Yes, it is Thursday.
It wasn't the first
Just in case you tried to edit me Thursday.
Yeah, there we go. Hello, Craig.
Hello, Adam. Hello, Juz. Hello, all you other people out there listening to us being late, and it's all Adam's fault, so we apologise.
Yes, it's all, we've had a week, haven't we? We really have had a
week. Everyone has weeks. It's part of the whole calendar.
For the first time ever, I think, we've
Gregory
actually
made it. Made a good going.
For the first Gregory's time ever, week. I think we've actually released a podcast late. I think this is the first time in nearly 3 years.
I don't think it is.
Because
all the greats do it, Adam. They're all late. Briganti, Angelo, they're never on time. So we're just raising our celebrity status to
it's
a higher
change.
Level.
That's what it is. Now, unfortunately, my granddad passed away on Monday, which means we couldn't record Monday. On Tuesday, Juz's work nearly went into meltdown because the air conditioning broke and nearly blew up a building or something. I don't know.
I just said that because I didn't want to do it.
That's what it is. And then last
night, Dunks were out.
Dunks was doing his fatherly supportive thing, and he's taken on a role at his local football club, which I think's very funny.
Cheese roll, it's lovely.
Adam had to look that up, by the way. Fatherly supportive thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Like, what is this fatherly business?
I just had to kick myself.
So you meant to be with your children.
So Dunks, you're now part of the. Is it part of the sort of the management team? I suppose in a way.
Management.
Exactly, membership secretary.
So nothing to do with the actual football.
I know there's quite a lot to do with the actual football, actually. I mean, it's really quite involved, and it's amazed when you know, I used to look at the form come through and think, oh, it's gone up 20 quid. Why has that gone up? And when you think of, you know, all of the fines that can be imposed on the club for not putting scores in at time on a Saturday, and all the coaching courses and all the checks you have to do if you're involved, obviously, with working with kids and stuff, it's, you know, it's quite a lot.
But you're not going to be coaching.
Not yet, no.
Not yet, listen to him. You haven't seen football for years.
Actually, my father was a professional footballer, thank you very much.
That doesn't mean the genes passed on to you.
Of course it does. Look at Harry Redknapp and Jamie Redknapp.
My dad used to be a mechanic. It doesn't mean I can fix a car.
Well, that's case in point, isn't it?
Mouse meets 2010.
Yeah. No, I mean, what they tend to do, which is quite good, if you have a son at the club, you coach the team which your son's involved with, and actually we've got one of the dads that teaches Kieran's team is brilliant, and you know, he's a really kind of right football kind of guru nut, loves it, and he's very good with the kids, so I'll quite happily let him do it.
Right, first thing you have to do when you get into the coaching is go in and you say, right, kids, stand in line, pick a ball, put a ball in front of you. He said, what you're going to do is, the first thing, the best way to beat an opponent is pick up and run with it and just see what they do. Let's just see what the kids do, whether they just look at you gone out, or whether they just actually do it. That would be quite fun.
Then I'll say, let's be a tree.
Right, there's no trees on football fields. You're so stupid. Right, anyway, let's tell you what's going on with this episode. We're going to bring our usual news and rumours, and then we are stepping into our second park as we carry on our Around the World in 80 segments, and we're going into Epcot. We're going to start looking at Epcot this week, and we'll continue doing that over the next few episodes as well. We've got loads of really cool stuff coming up as well. We're going to explain to you all. We've got this episode. The next episode will be usual. But then, on the 17th of August, we've actually got our three-year anniversary show. Believe it or not, we really have been around that long. And we're going to be doing a special show for that three-year anniversary, which we'll, you'll find out a little bit more. Also, a couple of other things to talk to you about as well. And Craig sort of headed this one up. We've decided that once again this year, we are going to take part in the Fantasy Football. And Craig, do you want to explain a little bit more about what we've been doing?
Oh, yeah. No, great. So we always used to use the Premier League fantasy football one. And it was okay. It was good. But, you know, the best one is the one run by the son, actually, Mr. Murdoch and his crew, called the Dream Team one. But I never used to do that because it was expensive to do. But now you can get a team for free. You can do it online for free, or if you've got an iPhone, iPod, iPad, whatever it's called, you can download an app and you can put a team in for free. So we've set up a Just One Moon Media League. I've put a team in. It's quite easy to do. Yeah, it's quite handy it being an iPhone or an iPod or an iWhatever or online.
There's an iPad iPhone app as well, isn't there?
Which is there is, yeah. And the other bit, we are giving a prize away. If you win the ultimate competition, so not just Just One Moon League, but if you win the whole thing, and the Sun will kindly give you £1 million.
Yeah, which is always a winner. Just to let you know then how you do, you need to go over to dreamteamfc.com, which is their website, or you can go and download the app for your iPod, iPhone, iPad, etc. And then when you've registered, when you register, you have to give them your phone.
Eyebrow? Can you do it on your eyebrow?
No, you can't do it on your eyebrow. When you register, okay. You have to give them your phone number. I don't know what that's all about.
Eyelid?
I don't know. They can just maybe access your voicemail without the need to
eye shade. Yeah, probably is. Yeah,
so you go in and you need to put in the league pin. Now the league pin is as follows: it's 152865. So that's 152865, and they have to put the password in, which is originally Orlando, actually, not even Disney related. So Orlando, and then you can join the league. There's currently myself and Craig in there with our teams. Juz hasn't joined yet because he's too busy sleeping on the sofa, and that's all ready to go. And so get yourself over there and come and join us, because it'll be a bit dull with just the two of us over there as it is at the moment. Right, next, DB23, just to tell you about. Now, you guys who supported us back in October of last year, I want to say a massive thank you for joining DB23. And we kind of sort of have to apologise a little bit, because sort of what we promised you hasn't all come into fruition yet. And we do want to sort of sincerely apologise for that. But we are now, we've got the ball rolling again, and it's well up and running. If you go over to discot.net and you are a member of the DB23 members group over there, which is a lock group, you can go over and join if you are a DB23 member. And if you are and you've not been enjoying that yet, come over and we'll let you in there if you've got your membership. If you go over to that page now, you will find the Disney Brit theme tune, I'm on Holiday Too, by Simon Price, thank you Simon, to download. There's also the instrumental version there to download as well, so if you're into your karaoke, you can go over and try that. So they are both now available to download over there, so go and give those a try. Also, we'll be extending the DB23 membership to those people who are currently members. We'll be extending it by another 12 months. That will be an extension for absolutely nothing for free, because we know that we haven't necessarily delivered everything we said we would so far this year. But your podcast will be coming soon as well. We've had some suggestions on what people want for them, and we're going to be working on those too. And that will all be coming very, very soon. I think that's everything on that, isn't it, Juz? Is Juz there?
Yes, I had you on mute. Sorry, I was talking to Louise. And then I shrunk down Skype and I was trying to be, yes, that's ever them. I wasn't listening, but I was talking to Louise. Sorry.
I'm asleep again.
I do try. Yes, yes.
Yes, I
think it's all Adam's fault, basically. I think me and Dunks,
we should have had this.
Everything we could. And Adam, because he's been so overworked and teachers just don't have enough time, they work from like 8:30 till 3 and they hardly get any weeks off.
What about? I don't work 8:30 to 3. I work 8:30 till 5 past 3.
Exactly. God bless them. Forget help our heroes, help our teachers.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Right, anyway, that's enough of that silliness. Let's get on with some news and rumours.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
Right, starting off in Walt Disney World, then, as always, I want to tell you about a Haunted Mansion event that is coming as part of the 40th anniversary celebration. It's going to be happening over at the Contemporary Resort on Friday, the 30th of September. It's from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and it's all sort of done as part of the event, and it's going to be run as part of the Art of Disney as well. And this is what you're going to get included in the event if you want to go. You're going to get be one of the first to pre-purchase limited edition event logo products, Haunted Mansion themed collectibles, and Walt Disney World 40th anniversary collectibles. There'll be a deadly silent auction, which will include a performance art lot by Noah. There'll be artist viewing to meet and greet with other worldly renowned artists such as Robert Olszewski, Jim Shaw, Greg McCullough, and more. There'll be a cryptic conversation with our ghoulish council of Walt Disney Imagineers. There's also going to be a ghoulish feast with haunted sounds and full-bodied entertainment. And there'll be a deadly departing gift as well. Now, if you want to get hold of these tickets, basically requests will be accepted until yesterday. So don't go and accept tickets, but we're going to let you know about
what's going on. Hang on, is that anyway. Yesterday, Wednesday, or yesterday,
it's
Tuesday?
Wednesday.
So it's really what you should have said 2 days ago.
We only have checked the date, shouldn't I? But let's just tell you what's going to be going on as part of this, just in case you have got your tickets or you haven't. It's going to start at 3 till 9 on the Thursday. You're going to be able to go and get early registration. Then you've got the registration opening again from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. Then 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. the Haunted Store will be open. 11 to 2 and 3 to 6 will be the silent auction preview and bidding. There will be 3 till 6 will be the Spirited Away artist viewing. 7 to 7.30, you're going to retire to the graveyard for Haunted Feast. 7.30 to 7.45 will be a artist performance by Noah. And the feast is served at 7.45. Desserts at 8.30 until 9, along with a seance panel discussion, and then everyone leaves at 9 o'clock. For this event, $285 per person.
Bargain.
And that does not include any of the things that you can buy on top of that. Is it me, or is this just silly money?
It's silly money, but they're bound to sell it, aren't they?
Oh, they're going
to
sell it, and some of the actual stuff that you can buy...
Actually sold it.
Is amazing. Seriously, some of the stuff they're selling at this event is just stunning. Have you had a chance to look at any of the merchandise?
No.
I have. No, I've had a look, but I'm cross with them about all these. Yeah, I found out today they charge for autographs.
Who do?
A D23, yeah.
Yeah, that's ludicrous. Yeah,
but the reason they're doing it is because it's not them. It's an outside company who's bringing the actors in who is charging for the autographs.
But if Donks went, could he not sign things and charge as well? Like, that's a dollar that, please, mate.
Yes.
Mate, some of them are $40. I just think,
whoa.
I'm not being sunny. You know, people love Disney, and we all love Disney, but they are taking the rise at times with what they charge. And the thing is, people still pay it, and they get away with it. And with their Mr. Staggs, he's a money man. He's going to take every opportunity to add to the dollar.
The reason why that's happening is because it's an outside company who are bringing them in. They're going to have to pay to bring them in and to make some money that
cods
way.
Wallop.
I know Disney
absolute
have,
though, cods wallop.
Disney have in the past... got people, they have signed things and they haven't charged them for them, but yeah, this company I know who are coming in this year are, I think they've sort of bought a stall and they're using it to basically bring in artists from films.
Well,
to
do you know what, more for anyone that goes queues up to pay to have a bloody autograph. You know, that's what people have fans for. You imagine the end of Wimbledon, Andy Murray going there saying, yeah, I'll only sign that if it's a fiver. It's just stupid. So if you queue up, trust me now.
So who's actually charged? Who's there to charge? Who's charging?
The company who are doing the
autographs. No, but which people are there?
It's nobody big.
They're theming it, Juz. So each day they've got... Actually, on one day they've got all pirate people there. On another day they got...
Yes.
I forget what it was, somebody else. I was so getting raged at the computer when I saw this. But so, yeah, from me, to anyone out there who pays for an autograph, you're an idiot. Okay, end of...
Oh my word. Seriously.
Because all you're doing, you're just fueling it. If you refuse, if everybody refused to pay,
yeah,
then they wouldn't get away, you know, and we're making money, and they think, oh, actually, this is a stupid idea. The other thing they do there, which is still a con, is if you've got an author and you want a book signed by an author, you can't take your own copy of the book. You have to buy the book there, show the receipts for him to sign the book, or her to sign the book.
Right, let's just tell you, just so you know what's going on. Friday, August 19th, is a Marvel day. But as well as them having Marvel stuff there, they've actually got Billy D. Williams.
Ah, cool.
Is going to be... He's
love his country music.
Isn't that Vanessa Williams' dad?
He is $40. But you've got Doug Jones, who's a Silver Surfer in Fantastic Four. He's only $15, as is the voice of Thor. He's $15.
Sorry, but $15 I expect to be wooed.
Yes. $15. Bruce Box Lightner.
You go out to Lime Street, the amount you could get $15 is unbelievable.
Oh, man.
Forget the autograph.
I'm trying to do serious informational
We don't in. Care because we think it's wrong.
I'm sorry, I've obviously not paid attention because that's what I do.
Yeah.
But I'm shocked.
You become famous. You repay people that have made you famous by charging them for your autograph.
If I was famous, I'd love to give autographs.
I think they would necessarily. It's not necessarily them that's charging, it's the company that's brought them in.
No, but they could turn around and go, no, I'm going as me. Yeah, I'm well, going true, as Silver Surfer.
But you've got... Anyway, let's just...
Do you get a picture?
I think it's a sign for it. I don't know exactly how it works.
It's not like I got my autograph book and they just sign it. No, I presume it's like...
I don't know, to be honest. I don't know enough
can we
about
find this information?
I'd want it tattooed on me, wouldn't you? I want there to be a tattoo artist there.
And yes, for $15, I expect...
Across my forehead.
You know, I was going to say my buttock to be tattooed nicely right. with his Ooh. Autograph.
Let me tell you what days they are then. We've got Marvel Day, Friday, August 19th. August 20th, you've got Tron Day. 21st is Pirates of the Caribbean Day. Now, you're probably interested in Pirates of the Caribbean in more sense, Joes. Greg Ellis, who plays Theodore Groves, he's going to be there. Isaac Singleton, who plays Bosun.
Are they charge?
Yes, they're $15 each. You've got Jacoby, the Boiler Room attendant from At World's End. He's $15.
But I could put a picture in an envelope with a stamped addressed envelope inside, send it to these people, they would sign it and send it back to me.
Well, yes.
Free, apart from a stamp.
But anyway, we've gone completely off where we were. We were at the Haunted
I'll be
Mansion.
Stood outside flogging them for $5. You want a picture, mate? Signed. There you go, sunshine. Say no.
Unofficial programmes. We should get a stall outside.
Yeah.
At the 7-Eleven on the corner.
We'll All sign right. it while you wait.
Done. We'll do that.
I think that's horrific. I really
Sorry,
think that's that. On Disney-like.
I took it off piste. I know I did, but it just annoyed me.
It's because we were talking about charging for things, weren't we? So it's $285 to get into Haunted Mansion event, but there are some awesome stuff. We were talking about this. There is a great painting by Noah called From the Other Side that is stunning with this raven on the
side. It's what you and Nick were rambling
about. Absolutely love it. Now, if I want the original artwork, it's going to cost me $10,000. That's not happening. They're doing limited edition canvas, which is $295. That ain't happening either. But they're doing a deluxe paper print, which is only $35. So if any, I might get Nick to pick me one of those up because I do quite
trying to get it off the internet and then just send it to a canvas
company. Yeah, I suppose I
So you shouldn't be doing that. That's illegal. It's against copyright.
Just go to IKEA and buy one, Adam.
It
Do you have a picture of it somewhere? So
yeah,
I can look
there's a picture. If you go to disneybrook.com and you go to the Haunted Mansion link, there is a link on there to the actual PDF, which you can find how much everything is and what the downloads for everything is. So if you go over there, you can see that. So that's well worth having a look at all the stuff that's on there. There's keychains. There's lanyard medallions. Oh, there are link. Pins. There are all sorts of really great stuff that you can see. So do go over and check those out.
Any autographs?
No. There's a great Haunted Mansion piece by Robert Olszewski to go with this, sort of his miniature series. They are great, but $295 for me is a silly amount of money for an event where actually, if you look at what you get dinner. Okay, that's fine. But it seems to be the discussion panel is about half an hour long, and that's it while you have dessert.
I'd have dinner. I'd pay that if dinner was inside the Haunted Mansion
See,
dinner
would be
area.
Awesome. That would be
Oh, if you're the dining room. Yeah.
That to me, they could do that. They could have a meal in there every night and charge and have chocolate at that price.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
If you yeah. Or even if they made it more exclusive, Charles, you know, like once a month or something.
Yeah.
That would
This be. Is how they should be making money, by giving something additional. People go, Disney fans go, wow, that's awesome. Not saying to a standard Disney fan, forget it, sunshine. There's no way you're going to get in here.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd love that. Anyway, right, let's carry on, shall we? We're going over to Downtown Disney, where there's a new Family Leisure Entertainment Centre coming, Joes.
Yeah, this is basically, if you no longer want to be with your partner, and you've often wondered how you should break it up, and you're thinking, do I text them and say I don't want to see you anymore? Apparently Disney's got a brand new place, it's called Splitsville. And basically, that's where you separate. And I presume you can find someone new as well.
I tell you, that's cleaner than the version we got via Skype from Craig the other day. So well done.
Thank you. No, Splitsville is named Splitsville because of a particular reason. Dunks.
Oh, I don't know.
Bowling, when you get a split.
I thought that was a spare.
No,
that's when
spare
you...
and a split. There's,
yeah. So wasn't it Splitsville or Strikeville?
No. Well, it could be any of them, but obviously perhaps they were taken and then there was only Splitsville left. And they thought it'd be a good idea for partners to separate as well.
And or gymnasts? Have they got like a vaulting horse in there? So you can
they
go
do.
The...
have a vaulting horse
great.
As well. Okay. We have been discussing over the past 30 years now about what to do with this piece here. We've had Diana there in spirit. We had a car shop that really wasn't that great, apart from a couple of big cars and little bits and pieces. They didn't like my Apple idea with the local bands. They scrapped that. But I quite like this. It's a bowling alley, dining, entertainment, a pole vaulting place. It's everything, all wrapped into one. It's called Splitsville. They're already in the States anyway. It's 50,000 square feet. If you don't believe me, measure it. It's got, I don't know why it's got billiards. That confused me. It's like, ooh, well, dining, music, nightlife, bowling.
Because you split them when you, don't know, what do you do? Pat off? I don't know what you call break. Oh. That's it.
Well, what, how does the pole vaulting fit into Splitsville, please?
Because it's him and his horse, or something he said. His vaulting horse.
Yeah. Right.
And I was thinking, for someone Nick's size, to get on a vaulting horse, you'd have to pole vault. Because they're quite tall.
Right.
Anyway, it's all there. It's coming. It's really, I think it's quite a cool idea. Once again, it's probably, you know, it'd be nice to, it's nice to have something there. Can I just ramble a bit? It's nice to have something there. Do you know when I park my car up and I give all my bags to Virgin and I'm sad and like, oh, and you're in that area and you go, oh, should I go to Disney Quest? No, because it's boring and it costs too much. Or should I go to the Virgin Megastore and buy a book, which I can't do now anyway. And I can't go to Cirque du Soleil because no one's there first thing in the morning. This to me is somewhere to go, do you know what? Let's go and have a quick game because we've been kicked out of our hotel.
Yeah.
We can't get on the airplane. Let's go and have a bit of a laugh. And I think this is a great concept. This well done.
A perfect little sort of end of vacation trip, isn't it? In that time in the morning, you can go and enjoy it. I have a few concerns about this Splitsville idea, though, and I'm hoping they're sort of going to...
Disney doesn't care.
...amend them a little bit. The concern is the timings of the other Splitsville locations around the country, whereas from 8pm onwards, it becomes an over-21s only place. And there's a concern there...
There's a reason behind that, though.
What's that?
Florida law states that... if you want to bowl after 8pm, you have to be over 21.
That's what it is. Right? Now, there's lots of several locations around the country, and they have this rule where it's over 21s after 8pm. Well, if you think about this as a family point of view, it's a family destination. They're in the centre of downtown Disney. If the parks don't shut until 8 o'clock, and or 9 o'clock, or 10 o'clock, whatever, and people then say, "Oh, should we go and have a game of bowling?" and they get there from 8 o'clock and say, "I'm sorry, you've got kids, you can't come in." It sort of goes against the ethos a little bit of what Disney's all about, and it means that you're going to turn up, you're not going to be allowed in, it's when you come in. I don't have a problem with it becoming adult only from 11 o'clock, let's say. I'm just hoping that they don't stick to their 8 o'clock.
Didn't they ask you to leave it just after 7:59 then, if you're still there playing?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how it would happen. I don't know how it would work.
Although, I've got to admit, you know...
admitted after. If you're in before 8...
that'd be it, you see, which isn't too bad. And I quite like your idea of adults only bowling, but I think that's something else.
They do sushi.
Do they?
I'm just looking at the menu.
The actual Splitsville concept itself looks really nice.
So that's your main concern?
Right, Dunks?
Now I'm just looking at the... steaks. Nice. It's a really annoying music on the website, though, so don't listen.
If you want to find out more about it, though, go to splitsvillelanes.com. And there you can find all the information you want to find out about everything that's going on with Splitsville. But
it's the best idea they've had for a long time, though, let's be honest.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I think it's a really good use of the space. Because they were talking about bringing in an IMAX, and they talked about this and that and the other, and they didn't all necessarily work as well. But it is a really good use of the space, and I think it's going to be an excellent addition to Downtown Disney, especially as they were thinking of building one at ESPN, and that's obviously quite a way out.
Wasn't the ESPN when they're going to be a proper professional one?
Yes, it is a proper professional one, yeah. It will be.
So they'll probably ditch that now.
Well, I don't know. They might keep that going, but it will be used more for professional rather than anything else because this one's now coming Downtown Disney. So it's good. I like it. We approve. Right, so let's head into the parks then and go over to the Magic Kingdom, Craig.
Oh, I'll get that dancing music off then, shall I? So the Celebrate a Dream Come True Twice a Day parade is, as the title says, going twice a day. So starting from last week, the 18th of July, the parade is now going to run at noon and 3:30 p.m. The reason, who knows, with Disney, it could be to do with crowds, but they're always busy, so who knows what that is. It's going to go all summer long by the sound of it. So
Dunks is in a growly mood tonight, isn't
it? No, I'm not in a growly mood, but it just
he's had Advil, but he's still growly.
I tell you, Advil's rock, don't they? They might charge for the earlier one. I think it's maybe just sensibly just to disperse the crowds. We've all been there in the summer and know how absolutely jammed it gets from about 2:30 onwards, down Main Street especially, and you can't walk for people coming in to kind of see all these people sitting down on the sidewalks. But it's quite a good time when it's like that, because if you've seen the parade, you can then go off and do something else without a queue.
Yeah.
So it works. I mean, I suppose you see the one that's more convenient for you. I'd rather there be one in the morning than 12, though. I'd rather it be like, you know, 10:30 and 3:30 or something.
If it's 12, that means it's going to take out a load of people for a parade and a load of people for lunch, which hopefully would mean that the crowds will lessen there as well.
Yes, true. Yes.
So you don't go, the 12 o'clock is probably not the best one to go and see. It'd be 3:30. But is it just for 2 weeks they're doing it, isn't it? To the 31st of July.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see whether they keep it going, whether this is just a trial that they'll bring back or what. I don't really. So I suppose the what time is the 3 o'clock parade isn't a stupid question anymore, because it's not necessarily always just going to be at 3 o'clock. So if you are heading out, let us know how it's changed the parks or changed your pattern of your day, etc.
I'll let you know next week, Adam.
Yeah, whatever. Right, okay, just to let you know a little bit about Disney Moms Panel 2011, they have announced that the application period will begin at 9 a.m, that's EST time, on Saturday, on September the 12th until September the 16th, 11:59 p.m. EST. You can apply online and they'll go through the whole process as they did last time and as they did the time before. But if you are looking to become a member of the Moms Panel again, or trying to become a member of the Moms Panel. I know we had a few people who listened to the show who made it through to sort of like the second round. We've got Emma Nicholson, who came to Mouse Meets, who's currently a Disney Moms panelist. Well, head over there from the 12th to the 16th of September. You should be able to sign up and see how well you do. So good luck.
I'm going to do it again.
You're going to try again? Yeah, I think you're going to try again. Craig, you going to try again this year?
Yeah, I'll try again. Yeah.
They didn't want me.
They didn't want us, they didn't want to hear us. You can't, was it, there's some rules on this. You obviously, you can't work for Disney.
No.
Your spouse can't work for Disney. Or now you can't work for any travel or tourism company.
Oh, that's interesting.
So you can't do that either. See, I know more than you do. Well, call yourself an expert. That's because you lost Disney Trivial Pursuit to me and you still haven't told everyone.
See, that is class. Well, I'm not talking about that because you cheated. There was some blatant cheating going on in that game. And that's the reason
winning.
You won Disney Trivial.
Winner.
He cheated. Yeah, if you go to disneybrook.com, find the news article there to do a Disney Moms Panel. There's a link on there that takes you to the page where it gives you all the terms and conditions and ins and outs and everything.
Basically, you can only enter if you're called Craig, Jazz, or Adam.
Yeah, basically, that's pretty much it. Yeah, that pretty much covers all of that. Right, changes to the monorail, which I think is going to cause a few problems, Jazz.
Yes, they're changing the monorail. They're going to make
this
it.
This has made me cross.
Oh, good. Because you've been so placid so far. Perhaps we should never do Thursdays. Sorry, Wednesdays.
Tuesday.
He gets growlier during the week.
Let's just not do the week.
Friday, anything with his hair. It's terrible.
Friday, his wife locks him in a room and tells him not to come out until until Monday.
Yes.
Basically, what they're doing, they're going to knock the monorail on the head completely.
That's a lie.
It's been vastly overrated. British Rail are going to take it on. They'd like to do it, but there's a leaf on the line, so they're going to have to stop. So what's going to happen is, and there's probably logic in this, and probably it works out cheaper to turn the Alecchi off at night. What's going to happen is they're going to have the monorail, but they're going to stop the monorail, so it only operates 1 hour after regular park close, beginning July the 11th, which is gone.
Yep.
And at Epcot and at Magic Kingdom, only 1 hour after park closes from Juz's birthday.
August the 1st.
August the 1st. It almost sounds like he's not read this,
hasn't he? No, but it's because it goes July, Juz's birthday, August 2nd. We scrapped August the 1st, we've changed the name. Anyway, so what's going to happen now is you have a choice of Watercraft, bit of a pain at Epcot because there's no way you can go apart from bound around the lagoon, or there'll be extra buses put on place. I did read this before, I'm just rereading it. So what's going to happen is they're going to try this out, see how it goes. I'm sure it's got something to do with turning Lecky off and being cheaper. But yes, it's going to be mad. So if you've got any extra magic hours and it's after the 1 hour after the normal park close, you're going to have to get a bus or the water from Magic Kingdom or Epcot. You're just going to have to get the bus.
Craig,
or the water to MGM.
Why you got your soapbox out, Craig? Go on.
You ready? Right, well, first of all, right, they haven't given the reason why they're doing this. Now, say, for example, the reason is because they're completely overhauling all the monorails, the track and everything else, and this is the only time that they can do it. Fine. okay? But tell everyone why, you know, they've had the terrible accidents that have happened on that. And if they're trying to make it safer, absolutely brilliant. You know, go for it, get on with it and get it done and get it back to normal. However, if it is for Juzzy's reason, if I was staying in the Polynesian and had paid a lot of money to stay on a monorail in a monorail resort, Grand Floridian as well, I would not be a happy bunny getting on a bus after the... I mean, I can walk back, I know, but getting on a bus to go back to a monorail resort when I have paid a premium to be in a deluxe resort. It could be paying $400 a night to stay there, and I've done extra magic hours, which is a perk of staying there, and I've got to get a boat, bus, or whatever back. It's not on. You know, it's taking... It's might as well saying you can stay in a deluxe resort, but actually you're in the car park in a camper bed. It's taking away one of the benefits of staying in that resort. Okay. That's what's wrong with it.
Well, it does say, the statement did say, from time to time, we make adjustments to our operations to accommodate for planned transportation maintenance. So
fine, but then don't do it in the bloody summer.
At the beginning of summer is not great. Well, I suppose 1st of August is towards the end of what Magic Kingdom would class as their busy summer period. It starts to get quieter. Not quiet by any means, but it certainly starts to get quieter from then. Yeah, July the 11th, I think, is very strange that they're beginning to close those down for the Magic Kingdom.
Epcot,
sorry, not Magic Kingdom.
We should read it.
I know what you mean, and I think it's very strange, and I'm hoping that this is not going to be a permanent change, because I don't see how this can make any economical sense, rather than having that one drive...
Could you turn the Alecky off?
All of it on, all the people on.
I mean, even if you get the resort ones on and you know, just stop the one going from to the TTC, you know, you could kind of buy that, maybe, but not...
It depends, it could be line maintenance rather than train maintenance.
Oh, then maybe. I just think it's very short. So, you know, if you can do that, start, you know, August 16th when you're charging people.
And plus, Disney always tell you when it's a refurb.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be. This also could be linked to the findings of the crash that happened and the safety implementations they've had to put into place. And Disney want to announce everything.
Don't have monorails when it's dark.
They've been told they're going to do this and this, and it, you know, they don't want to bore people. It's just getting on with it and getting it done. I don't.
You're saving money. You turn Lecky off. You don't need controllers, etc. And that part of the problem was the controller was doing something else at the time, so you probably cut jobs.
But also, if you think about it, you know, they've probably done some research on this as to say, how much do people use the monorail? Do they use this at this time of night? Is it going to affect a lot of people? Is it not going to affect a lot of people? So I think it's interesting. The one thing that I'll be interested to see is how it's going to affect evening extra magic hours, Mickey's Not So Scary, and Mickey's Very Merry Christmas.
Right, I'll answer that question then. Juzzy Bear, you stayed in the Polynesian for a very long time. I only stayed in it for one night, but I only went by the monorail everywhere.
Yes, yeah, because it's right there, isn't it?
Exactly. That's why you're paying the money to be on the monorail. So I think anyone that stays in those monorails resorts is going to be upset that they can't get the monorail back.
Yeah.
Personally, yes. Well, lovely. I could do that for a stay at the
Horses
spot.
Are horrible, yeah.
What's, you know, I'm not being funny. You're paying a privilege for an extra service that you're not getting, aren't you? You're paying more because you are on a monorail.
Actually,
it'd be interesting to know the cost of a monorail resort to, say, the Animal Kingdom Lodge, which is still a deluxe, isn't it?
Yes.
I bet that's cheaper.
Off the top of my head, I do not know the answer to that, unfortunately. But,
that's why it's Disney trivia.
Yes, it probably is. Yeah, it was Disney film trivia. You cheated. I'm not even going into how much you cheated, but you cheated and kicked over my pot plant. Right, let's move on to Craig, because Lightning McQueen has finally appeared at Hollywood Studios.
Well, that's basically the news, to be honest with you. That's it. Because it's only two lines long.
Please expand.
Earlier this summer, we on the Disney Brit podcast at www.disneybrit.com broke the news that the star of Cars 2, also technically the star of Cars and Cars Toons, Mr. Lightning McQueen, was set to join the Lights Motor Action Extreme Stunt Show at Disneyland Paris Hollywood Studios in July and in Paris and everywhere else. He was going to come on and be a star. Well, guess what? He's now in Paris. It started this week. Woohoo. In fact, actually, talking about Walt Disney Studios in a tenuous sort of way, we were, thanks to Juzzy Bear and also being repeated this Sunday on the Travel Channel on Sky, which is 2, whatever it is, number, I can't remember. There was a programme, I think it was Film 2003, I was trying to work out from the Roman numerals at the end, all about inside Walt Disney Studios, and they talked about Light Motor Action and seeing it built from sand upwards. It was quite an interesting programme, for an hour long. for those that like that sort
of thing. Tell you what that is. Did you notice how many times they made reference to it and did shots to Disneyland Park as if it was part of the studios?
Yeah.
Yes. It wasn't.
Do you know what? That, I do think that the entrance to Walt Disney Studios Park is the ugliest entrance to any park Disney have. Walk through and there's a great big building in front of you with number one on it.
Tell you what, I also noticed that they waste money. Do you know what? They were showing how they brought some things in and how they did things. I think, why not just build a replica out of balsa wood or something? Why stop a whole motorway and ship this? How much money have you spent? And you wonder why they have the debt they have.
Yeah, exactly. And why is it in France? Just out of interest.
You've been ranting about that all week.
I have. He just doesn't stop ranting about that, does he ever?
It's been heightened this week for some reason. Ever since that show, he's ranted about it.
So,
let me go back to my rant. You shush, Adam. Oh, I'll go back to my rant. Because, right, they put it in Florida, and although it was there before, the Floridians loved it, but now people move to Florida to be near Disney. Okay, people change their jobs, their careers, and everything, their lifestyle, to move to Florida to be near Disney. How many people do you know that have moved to the outside of Paris to be
near Disney? No, they don't. They moved to Spain to be near Disney.
Yeah, because people hate... the French hate Disney, and people hate the French. So it just doesn't work.
It's not quite the same, though, is it? Because you don't move there for the two parks, whereas you move into the whole of the weather thing in Orlando.
That's why it should be in Spain.
Parks, yeah.
Because what's that park setting up?
Paramount.
Parents?
Yeah. Paramount Park.
Paramount Park, yeah.
I think people would move near there because of that.
Possibly, yeah. And Motors Action Lightning McQueen thing, have any of you guys seen the videos and stuff of the actual addition, what it actually is?
Yes.
What do you think?
I was trying to sound clever. No, I haven't.
So what? I can guess what they've done. They've taken the little red car and put some Lightning McQueen stickers on it.
No. They've actually got a proper Lightning McQueen. It does look quite cool. And there's a point where he comes out of the back of the... truck, which is the scene that they use next, and there's another car with a rocket on its back, and they have this scene between them where they sort of very slowly chase each other around, and then they come face to face, and then they chase each other out, that sort of stuff.
Does he talk?
It's quite nice. Yeah, he doesn't. You can hear him speak, but you can't see his mouth move. And Mater appears up on the screen above, and he's talking to everybody as it goes through, and it's basically exactly the same as what it's in Paris. And Harry loved it. You know, and he remembers it. But it was nice to have something in there to fill up the time where there normally wasn't a massive amount going on.
Did he point at him and go, "What's your name?"
No. And
he knows that. He knows Lightning McQueen doesn't know his dad. He went, "Daddy." It's a car. Daddy.
it's all right. If people are getting excited and going, "Oh, I have to go and see this," don't get your hopes up too high, because it isn't that good. It's a nice addition, but it's not amazing. Not
it's like Disney Brit. Don't get your hopes up too high.
No, yeah, it's going to be dead. Wouldn't you rather... Sorry, go on, Ed.
If you listen to the show expectations, then you're going to enjoy it.
I'll say, if you're going to do Carl's theme, wouldn't you rather have it on Utopia or Tomorrowland Speedway?
Yeah,
isn't that the place to
have the whole thing? I think we've talked about it so many times, haven't we, on this?
I still think it might be quite good myself, so I'll be quiet.
That would be cool.
It'd be quite nice.
Just to go back to your question a little bit earlier, Animal Kingdom, on average, and we're talking about real average here, about $300 a night. Polly, around $400 a night. So
there you go. So I want $100 back then, please, Disney.
Because the monorail was working when you went... doesn't kind of work. I stayed there and now it's not working at $100. Yeah.
If it was you, it would. Trust me. If I said I was Adam Goodger, they'd send me on a cruise for nothing.
Well, Animal Kingdom Lodge. There's a new experience happening over there where you can dine with the animal specialists who work at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
And good as I think it's like time with the animals, although that's not so great.
not for them.
An African-inspired lunch over at Sana at the Kadani Village, where you can go join a group of no more than 12. Sana is possibly my favourite restaurant in the whole of Walt Disney World. It is truly amazing. Over there, you can enjoy an inspired lunch. And they're around a table, and then you get an inside view with times for lots and lots of questions. You can ask them about all the animals that they deal with, etc. You can have a four-course lunch from the tandoor oven, and the seriously, the food there is stunning. From warm naan bread, savoury dips, slow-cooked meats, sweets, tropical fruits, cold feet, you just name it. It's absolutely amazing. You also get a culinary lesson too, as the restaurant servers talk about each delicious course. And if it's anything like, we were lucky enough to sit at the chef's table when we went, and he took us through how he was making all of these things. If it's anything like that, it's just going to be truly stunning. The animal specialist experience is every Wednesday from 11:30 until 1:15. Now, I don't think this is bad. It's going to cost you $49 per adult and $29 ages 3 to 9. There is a special kids menu. And the price also includes a gratuity plus a $5 contribution to Disney's Worldwide Conservation Fund. It's beginning August 1st. Reservations are now available if you go through the usual Disney reservations dining, or call 407-WDW-DINE and heat it up to 180 days prior to your visit. Do you know what? $49, a four-course decent meal from Sana, contribution to charity. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. I like that.
Would it be something you do, do you think?
Yes, right? Definitely.
Yeah, I would have eaten there. I like Sana, actually. I had the little taster. We had the three different curry things. I think I would, actually, because, you know, your tip's included. That's 20%, so take that off. I don't know what that is, a tenner. And then your $5 to save the world. That's good. Yeah, no, it's pretty good value. It's all right for Disney for once. Mind you, I think $29 for mac and cheese is quite a lot for the kids.
Yeah, maybe.
Nice mac and cheese.
But, you get the Imagineer or the I suppose they aren't away in Imagineer. Animal Imagineer.
Animal ears. Animal ears. Aren't they Mickey ears?
You get that included as well, which is nice. And you get a four-course lunch. And I'm not going to complain about that. That sounds really good.
As long as he has a bath first. Well, it's from the animals. He's going
to
smell.
In front of you? You want him to bath in front? I don't know. But there's 12 of you there, which is good. So it's only a small number, and you're going to be able to sit and have a good little natter with him and ask him anything you want to, animal-related.
Unless Adam's there, then forget it. You won't get a word in next.
Adam and Nick there, you might as well get a bit take away.
He'd be like, can I have my charity money back?
Yeah.
Is this free?
Did I pay for this? Right. Last bit of news for Walt Disney World then, and I think Tinkerbell's moving.
You were very careful then after you ruined Craig's news and told the whole thing how you're going to present Juz's news, which is actually two lines. Tinks and her friend are catching the monorail on the 29th of July. They will not then be able to leave because the monorail will not be working for them. And they're back for meet and greets. Actually, it says the 29th and the 28th. They're there for the 28th, but then it's permanent for the 29th, so 28th is a bit iffy. Only there part-time. They're there on a trial. If they don't cut the mustard, they're out. Over at Pixie Hollow Gang, will be stationed at Adventureland Veranda. That's funny enough, in the Adventureland area of the park. Sorry, did Disneyland blog write that?
Yeah, they actually wrote that, That okay, is a quote from the Disney Parks blog.
Stationed at Adventureland Veranda in the Adventureland area of the park. Because, of course, Adventureland Veranda used to be in Toontown, but they moved it across quickly. So anyway, they're going to be there. Get down there July the 29th and meet old Tinks. When you get real close to Tinks, please note that, yes, you'll find out it is Nick with stubble squeezed into a leotard. It is very disappointing once you've seen it from the castle, then see him close up. It's not the same.
No, Tinkerbell's got hairy legs. Anyway, that's all of our Walt Disney World news. Jumping on a plane, flying over to Disneyland Paris, because Craig's been there for a long time because he loves the French so much. And I'm really excited about this, Craig.
Are you? Oh, good for you. Right, I'm not. Terrific Night returns to Disneyland Paris for 2011. Now, we've come to expect some family-friendly events from Disney. And you would never get this in America. This is why I think this is wrong. So, France, that place that I love, last year had its kind of rip-off Universal Studios Horror Nights. It has its own terrorific nights. It was such a success because the French hate Disney and thought this was great. We're going to do it again. So one night only, was the 30th of October. Adam's probably going to go for free. They're holding it again. So, you know, good luck to them. It doesn't fit in there. They shouldn't do it there. They'd never do it in any other park apart from in France because France hate Disney and Disney hate the French. So that's why they do it there.
They're doing a Terrific Night as well, which is actually where you turn up dressed as a character from Only Fools and Horses.
Terrific!
I'm so pleased they're bringing this back again. Seriously, two nights as well. Last year's was
brilliant.
Because it was, last year was brilliant. It really was fantastic. It was so completely un-Disney, and for the fact that it was completely un-Disney, it was just brilliant. And we had no idea what to expect. You know, we turned up, and when we got outside Disney Studios, it was dark. There was the sounds of screaming and all these sort of weird noises. And then they finally let you in, and you walked to the park, and it was almost pitch black as you walked.
Just come to Liverpool for the night if you want dark and screaming.
The studio front lot. And at that point, we were like, whoa, what's going on here? And then we walked into Studio One and walked through, and there were all these zombie creatures, and there was that one woman who works in the store in there, and she was basically in her cast member costume, but she had blood dripping from her mouth and her arms and all that sort of stuff. And it was just like totally un-Disney, but it was just a phenomenal evening. And what they did with the scare actors walking around the park, we had zombies chasing people and moving, throwing chairs, and a guy with a chainsaw following people. And, you know, they did over the whole of the tram tour, and it was the best the tram tour's ever been. And it was just a brilliant night. It really was. It was just fun to walk round, to watch what everybody was doing, to surprise with some shorter cues and with some slightly different music and effects and stuff like that. And I am seriously considering going back for 2011. I'm seriously considering whether or not it's an option to go back and enjoy Terrorific Night again, because I enjoyed it so much last time, that I might just make a pilgrimage out there for Halloween and go and enjoy the event. Possibly. You don't fancy joining me then, boys?
Is Disneyland Park open?
Disneyland Park isn't open on that night for that event. No, it's just Walt Disney Studios.
No, I meant, was it open at the same time? Because then I could go there and be quieter.
No. At the same time.
Oh. What's the age? Is there an age thing on this, Judge? Because what I'm thinking, Adam, sorry, what I'm thinking is that they have completely shot themselves in the foot. You know, it's half term week, isn't it? And people are going to go over there with kids, and they're not, because they can't go out in the evening. What are they going to do?
There isn't an age thing as such, but it was recommended for nobody under the age of 12, and I can understand why. But it's done after the park's closed anyway. Around that sort of time, the parks have been closing sort of 7, 8 o'clock, and then the event started at 9 until 1 a.m. And I thought that worked really well, actually, with the timings. And there wasn't an issue because both parks were normally shut at that time anyway.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you couldn't go if you've got kids. Well, you could
go to that event if you wanted to. It's a hard ticket event. You have to pay extra.
Yeah, but what'd you do with kids? I know you don't take yours. But what would you do with if you took them? That's what I mean, is you wouldn't take... You can't go... If you wanted to go, and that was a weekend you were taking the kids, you couldn't go to it because you had your kids.
No, you couldn't take your kids with you unless they're a little bit older. So, like, you wouldn't take Kieran, but you might take Ali. You know, Ali would probably cope.
Because they wouldn't go. They wouldn't go. I'd ban them from it.
You'd ban them from it, okay. But, if you're going as a family, then it's not... it's not designed to be a family event. You know, it's very much designed to be the young adults, that sort of idea. And
I think that's Dunkley's issue, though, isn't it? I mean,
it's all for
Disney,
it can be full of French shoppers.
Family events.
But they have the not-so-scary Halloween parties going on during the couple of weeks before, and the 31st, the day after the last Terrific Night, they have got their Halloween party going on in Disneyland Park as well.
But they should have the two. So families can go to one area and people, non-families, can go to the other one.
They do over the same weekend, but they have
do it at the same time.
The 31st.
So hold on. Yeah, their Halloween party is on November the 1st.
It's on October the 31st.
Okay, right. I was going to say
they have a not so scary, which is a smaller version of the Florida version. It's just in Fantasyland usually. That happens. I think there's 7 or 8 of them this year over those sort of 2 or 3 week period beforehand. Then they've got the Halloween party on the 31st, but they've also got 2 Terrific Nights as well, which is a different offering. It's just them offering something that's not designed for kids. But it's only like them doing backstage tours in Walt Disney World, whereas you can't go on them unless you're over 16. You know, it's the same sort of idea in that sense.
No, fair point. I'll accept this, though, as a Disney concept when they do it in Florida or California.
Well, I think, you know, there's a possibility. From what I understand, last year there were people from Florida out there having a look at the event. Now, I think this would be a perfect fit in somewhere like Hollywood Studios. I think it would fit absolutely brilliantly in Hollywood Studios. And, you know, you talk about, let's say you had a fantastic performance at 8:30 that night. They shut the park, and at 9 o'clock or 9:30, 10 o'clock, it reopened for them to do something like this. I think it would be brilliant. The problem is, of course, they've got to fight against Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios. But I just think it would be an awesome event for them to do over in Walt Disney World. We'll see what happens. Right, let's talk about some 20th anniversary stuff. And we've got some rumours of things that have been happening as part of the 20th anniversary. the past couple of weeks, Disney have been doing some filming of bits and pieces over in Paris. Certainly, Goofy has been part of this, and I do know that they've been auditioning some groups of children to take part in this new 20th anniversary advert that they're going to be doing. Work's well underway with that, and I know there's going to be some photos taken very soon with some of the characters too. So do expect there'll be some stuff to start appearing about that very soon. Now, also, some rumours about the fate of Once Upon a Dream Parade. Now, it's been at the park since the 15th anniversary. It's been there a good while. Again, from what we understand, and remember, these are only rumours, the Once Upon a Dream Parade is expected to totally change. Now, whether the name will stay, or they'll get new music, we don't really know. Is somebody bludgeoning somebody in the background?
It's Dunks, it's not me, because I can't, because I've dropped my pen.
Oh, is it Dunks bludgeoning somebody?
It's my mouse that I'm hitting on the floor in anger at Terrific Nights.
Terrific Nights.
Terrific Nights, yeah, they're not terrific at all.
Anyway, we don't know whether the music's changing, but we are expecting to see
something. Adam's got so much editing to do here.
I have. See, I'll just keep it in this one. And they can just moan at Craig for being grumpy.
They don't moan at Craig, they love Craig.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they love me.
Everyone loves Craig. That's what the new series. Everyone loves Craig.
Well, anyway, there's some new floats come in. Mickey and Minnie are no longer apparently going to be on their front balloon float, which is good because I don't really like that one. They're going to move to apparently a more romantic-looking float. The princesses are also going to get their own share of the parade. They're going to have a new element, which is apparently going to be themed to horses and carriages. We're also apparently saying goodbye to Aladdin and Princess Jasmine, and in their place will become Flynn Rider and Rapunzel. We don't really know much more than that. Well, Rapunzel's been really popular. She's been massive. It's one of the most Disney films that have been out for a long time. Also, nighttime entertainment seems to be changing. There is talk that there'll be a new nighttime parade coming to Disneyland Park. It could possibly utilise some of the previous Once Upon a Dream floats. It may also utilise some of the floats from the new parade that's coming. We don't know what's going to happen to Fantasy Illusion. That also could be disappearing. Now, one other thing. We know for definite that this summer will be the final time that a certain fireworks show is going to be coming, so there could be other things that are coming as well, but I'm going to leave that for Juz to tell you rather than going on any further. So Juz, what's happening with the engine?
You just told it.
No, I haven't, because there's more to it.
You're horrible tonight. You're just taking everyone's story and doing a sneak thing to make us look stupid, and we can do that on our own dumps, can't we?
We don't need any help on being
no
stupid.
No help whatsoever.
Come on, tell us about the fireworks.
We have mastered that ourselves.
See, if Dunks would probably say, I'm going to take Dunks' viewpoint on here because I'm very pro Disney. But I have a sneaky suspicion. Fireworks are very expensive.
Yeah.
Apparently, you know, Florida alone uses 3 boxes of standard fireworks a night, which is around about $10. So it's quite expensive to do a time. So fireworks are going, I think. Well, the show's going. Yeah. But I think fireworks are going.
Because yes, I think good.
Yes, fireworks are expensive, so they've gone. Also, the farmers, the cows complain. Yeah. Fireworks. Because they get scared and they lie down.
Is that your rumbly stomach again?
No, it's the cow. Fireworks. Jim Henson would have been proud of me because I was actually doing the action then as well.
Doing that.
Yeah. And I think they're going because of this reason. Projection art at the moment is in across the whole of Europe. Forget what they've done in Orlando. That's nothing compared to what the companies are doing over here. And if you actually ever go on YouTube and look at some of the projections there, where they've actually had buildings dissolve, it is absolutely phenomenal, especially the 3D stuff. So I think building projections in, complete building projection, even probably Main Street, and they've been playing around with water stuff, which kind of makes me sit here and go, Universal. They have a reason they don't have fireworks is because the neighbours complain.
Yeah.
But water's cheap. And reusing it into these fantastic displays, and we've seen the water displays with the projections coming through it. It works really well at Fantasmic, etc. It isn't Fantasmic, is it? Yes, it is Fantasmic. And I think this is the future. So I think fireworks are definitely going. Or they may not be, but the show's going. And I think you're going to get a whole new concept. And I hope it's a new concept. I just think there's so much potential there. Fireworks are yesterday. I think Disneyland Paris needs something spectacular, and I think with the water stuff and all the projection, that's the way to go.
Yeah, there's certainly been rumours, hasn't there, about this new water projection system. They've got a system that was in place in the bottom of the moat in front of the castle that's been there since around April time, that we think they've been testing for some sort of water thing. It would be interesting to see where the fireworks are. I think it'd be a shame if they got rid of fireworks completely.
You just need a couple.
Yeah, I do like this idea of there being fireworks over the castle. You know, it's almost like that's always been part of Disney, and it's always been part of what we expect. I don't know whether or not they will get rid of fireworks completely, but I think you're right that they may now consider to begin to use other options that are easily reusable without the extra cost, and implementing those as part of things as well. So it would be nice to see something bigger, and not only bigger, it'd be nice to see it every night. Because the biggest problem I have at the moment is the fact that you only get it in summer. And you only get it for those few months in the summer, not all year round. It'd be nice to see them extend that. That does, though, of course, cause issues with regards to the winter and water and all that sort of stuff and how they get around that. But I don't know. I'd like to see them keep it and bring it in.
But Dogs has found the European company, which I mentioned. If you go to YouTube and do a search for 3D building projection,
right,
and look at some of the work they have done, and one of them is a church in the middle of, and how it collapses. And Europe apparently won the we're the leading area in this kind of technology, so why not really use it? And you could, the things you could do on Disney and Main Street would be fantastic. Yeah. In fact, why not set it up all the way around the park? So why do you need to be in one area? You could, let's say, be in
Frontierland. The whole park could come to life.
Yeah,
couldn't it,
and then you could go, actually, I'm going to go back tomorrow night because I want to see what it's like in Discovery Land, see what they do over there, because someone said it's great. And you could do certain areas, and it would be cheaper than fireworks every night. Initial capital outlay, then done.
Keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Indeed, keep moving forward. Well, I'd be interested to see what they do come up with and what they do.
Let go of the retro fireworks, Mr. Goodger. Move forward.
I'm moving forward. I am. Right, well, there you go. That is all of our news and rumours for this edition of the show.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Columbus Vacation Villas. Central Florida Vacation Home Rentals and Property Management Services. If you are looking for your perfect vacation villa, get in touch with this friendly family-run business, which will go out of their way to make sure your vacation of a lifetime is just that. If you already own a villa in Orlando, then let Columbus take care of everything whilst you are away, giving you complete peace of mind. Check out www.columbus-vacations.com and discover a new world. Every day, a new beginning. Every night, a brilliant end. Discover the wonders of Epcot.
It's time to continue around the world, and we've left the resorts behind. We've left Magic Kingdom area behind, and we're heading over to Epcot. And today we're going to be looking at the very beginning of Epcot. We're going to look at a couple of the pavilions, and that's really about everything we're going to do. It's going to take us a little while just to get through Future World alone, I think. Jez, you must be looking forward to this, because this is your favourite park, is it not?
No, I like Animal Kingdom.
You like Animal Kingdom? Yeah, change your mind.
Yeah, okay, that's the best. Never understood Epcot.
No, Illumination's terrible.
Yeah.
So you don't get a rise out of them, you try. Which one's your favourite Dunks out of the four?
Magic Kingdom.
I thought it was Magic Kingdom, so we've left you.
Magic Kingdom's my favourite. Yeah, no, that's my favourite.
To Dunks, to just his favourite, which is fine. Right, so we're basically going to go through Epcot bit by bit. We're going to talk about all the different areas, and hopefully we'll piece it all together to become one big Epcot sort of informational thing. So let's talk about Epcot to start off.
Informational thing.
That's like a book.
You're a great teacher. Okay, awesome. Kids, we're going to do this thing awesome. Now.
So today,
it's called spelling.
We're going to look at the entrance and amenities. We're going to look at Spaceship Earth.
Ooh, and him and his
amenities of energy. So they're the three we're going to be looking at today. So to arrive at Epcot, then, so you've got two choices when arriving at Epcot. You can either park in Epcot's own parking lot. Anybody name any of the parking lot places?
Goofy.
No.
Pluto.
No.
Mickey Showcase.
No.
Minnie's Lounge.
I'm listening. I'm enjoying Juzzy's ones.
Keep going.
Goofy.
No.
Keep going, Juzz.
Goofy's there. I parked in Goofy. Didn't like it, but I did.
That was that's at the TTC.
That's another lawsuit.
Anything else? No.
Mickey Studio. That's Hollywood.
Can you give me one, Dunks?
Journey.
Yeah, Journey, Imagination.
Imagine.
Yeah, there's all of those.
There's you've got, other ones.
You've got
Journey, create. You've got Imagination, Discover, Create.
Yeah, Discover, Create, Explore, Wonder, Imagine,
Explore, Wonder,
Amaze, and Journey. There you
go. Amaze. I parked in Amaze.
Have you?
Yeah, I couldn't find my way out.
Excellent. Right, so you're going to park in there, or you can get the resort buses or the monorail from the TTC, but you can park in Goofy or park in Mini, etc. Also, when you first come to the park...
You can also park at Hollywood Studios and get the boat.
You can park at Hollywood Studios and get the boat.
You can also park in the board, if you're a resort guest and walk across there.
Yes.
I said a resort guest, didn't I? Yeah.
See, resort guests, you're right to park and walk.
Walk across through that international gate. Okay.
But if you aren't staying in the posh hotel, then they really are your option.
I could park up and play golf and then walk across and say, would you mind if I leave my car? Then I go, that's no problem, Mr. Griffiths. Thank you. So those are places, get there. They do.
Right, I see.
Is your club, Mr. Griffiths? It's a big one. Just like McCaddy, funny enough.
They are your best ways to get into the park. There's plenty of turnstiles at the front there. They've certainly got those wider turnstiles now you can get through with books and things like that.
I thought it just meant for me then.
Just for yes. Right,
Mr. Griffiths, your turnstile's ready for you, sir.
Yes, that's right, Mr. Griffiths.
You mentioned that.
Lube me off, I'm going through.
Now, there's one place that we always try and get a photo from. They have these Kodak picture spots all around the parks, and sometimes I look at them and think, really, is that the best you can offer? But I think this is possibly one of the best ones for a photo with Spaceship Earth, just as you come in, right by the fountain. Spaceship Earth.
Can I just say I've never thought that?
What?
Really? Is this the best you can offer?
Yeah, this, I just look at some of them.
Name one.
Really? I forgot to Disneyland Paris, the one for the Captain Hook's pirate ship. I never.
No, that doesn't count, because the photo ones in Disneyland Paris are in English, and they set us up to make us look stupid.
No, is that what it is? Okay.
The French have the vote.
All Kodak picture spots are amazing. But you can also get PhotoPass there. They're not there always during the day. Certainly towards the end of the day, we've had our photo taken with PhotoPass with the ball lit up behind us.
The ball.
Yeah, Spaceship Earth lit up behind us, and we got some really nice PhotoPass photos from that. But it's a really good photo op, and if you're there early, it's a good time to get it, because you can usually get the angle right, so you don't have a lot of people in the back of your shot either, which is really good.
Something else you can get there.
Sorry, go on.
There's something else you can always get there, guaranteed without a shadow of doubt, is the Disney survey.
Yes, the Disney survey guys are always there, aren't they? That's very true. I didn't even think about them. Right at the entrance is wheelchair rental. Left is toilets, stroller rental, wheelchair rental, and there's a cash machine there as well. You've also got the Lever Legacy area there. Now, you cannot buy any Lever Legacy anymore. You can only go and look at them. Who's got a Lever Legacy tile?
Got two, three.
You got three? Wow.
Yes.
Craig, did you get one?
No, I didn't get one. Waste of money. I'm just going to spit on yours, Adam, and take a picture of Juzzy's.
Don't. Do you know how much I paid for mine?
Nothing.
It was part of our honeymoon package. So, yeah, we did pay for it. But, yeah, Lever Legacy's there. You can't add to it anymore. It ended probably 5 years ago now, maybe.
Yours is funny, Adam. You look like something out of Happy Days.
Yeah, ours is quite funny.
Mouth, mouth.
If you...
Oh, that's so apt.
If you want to know where your Lever Legacy tile is, you can't remember anymore. You've forgotten where it is. Then... Under Spaceship Earth, you've got the camera centre.
Stop drinking as much.
Yeah, go to the camera centre, go in there, give them your name. They should be able to find your tile and give you the exact location of what it is. If you've still got your little card, which has got your picture and everything on it, you can use that. But they will tell you where to go and get that.
I could tend to be Jazz and go and find his then.
Yes, you can tend to be Jazz and go, but yeah. But there's nothing, no data sensitive information there, I suppose, is there?
There is, mine is.
Is it?
Yeah,
did you
photo fit they've used for crime watch?
I know, is there just
what it is? Yeah. Imagine that, using a Lever Legacy picture as a photo fit for crime watch. That would be quite funny.
They were really strict on certain things as well. There, you couldn't. Everyone had to be living. Admittedly, that helps with the picture because it would have given it away. But you didn't necessarily have to have a picture, you see. But you could never put anything which, like, to my dearest, you know, such and such or whatever, and I always thought that was That was sad, because I thought that would have been nice in an area, and I don't know why Disney did it to put something that was a reflection back, especially that area, to other people.
Well, Disney only guaranteed them as well for a maximum of 10 years, and what ours has been there 6 now, so I suppose we've got another 4 years. Which
I'd like to see them move that lot.
Yeah, do you imagine what would they would put there? But they've rumoured that they're going to take them away, but I was told it was 10 years that they would be there for, but I don't know if they'll go or not.
They'll just take the steel bits off and resell them all again.
The actual marble?
No, it's like a steel plat, isn't it? Plat on the marble. They look like granite blocks, actually. But still, they'll just take those off and resell them, won't they? Mr. Stag will start putting the price up.
I don't think you'd ever lose them. I think they're there. It's just, it looks nice. Part of that.
Is a legacy not longer than 10 years, though, Jazz? Be fair.
Well, I've seen my lawyer when they try and do it. My lawyer is going to sort them out.
Legacy definition.
Otherwise, it'd be called "Leave a Decade of Your Picture."
Leave a decade doesn't quite have the same ring to it, does it? Leave a decade. Yeah, no.
Anyway, the reason we had to have 3 is because you only had a maximum of 2 people, and we're in a family of 5. Christian got duplicated.
So who was on their own? Okay, so there's sort of the entrance area, and then as soon as you go towards the entrance and go towards the centre of the park, you are met by this massive, what people describe as a golf ball, which is called Spaceship Earth.
Can I also say something else, just to interrupt? I think it's one of the most perfect ways to walk into a park. I don't know what it is about that area. You. There's something about the build-up. And talking about, like, Walt Disney would always go about the curtains and everything. That, to me, is just one of the best areas going into the park.
What with the music and all of those elements as well, and the different look that it has. Yeah, I think it's possibly one of my favourite entrances to a park. And then obviously you get towards Spaceship Earth, and then you sort of go through to the other side, and that's when it all begins to open out, and you've got Innovations East and West and all that sort of stuff, and then you see the lagoon and everything. But it is, I do like it as an entrance to the park. It's very basic, there's nothing complicated about it at all, but it is nice. It's nice to have the monorail coming through as well.
Yeah, it's alright.
You can see going over. Alright, miserable.
On the design board. Yeah, it's alright. Well,
no, I like. You know, but then I was thinking, actually, as you were talking about, I think, what is the best entrance to a park? And ironically, I think it's the Disneyland park in France. The way that you walk down the hotel and go through. And then, as I said earlier on, the worst one has got to be Walt Disney Studios in Paris. So they got the best and the worst. I do like Epcot entrance. So the way you kind of skirt into the left-hand side of the ball. It's quite nice.
Yeah, it's quite cool. They do it sort of way.
This is Spaceship Earth Control. On behalf of Siemens, welcome aboard. In preparation for your journey, we'd like to take your picture. Locate the mirror overhead to the right. Make sure your face is clearly visible. Smile and wait for the flash. Got it. Now we'd like to connect you to your guide.
Right, so we're going to go over to Spaceship Earth to start off with. I've obviously been there since opening day. It's had a lot of changes as we've gone through, and there have been updates from Walter Matthau to Jeremy Irons, etc. There's been so many different changes with narrators and all those sort of things. It's had loads of different sponsors as well since it's opened. During the Disney's Millennium Celebration, there was a giant Sorcerer Mickey hand, and the word Epcot was then added to the exterior. What was your opinion of that? Anybody like that?
The way you said it then, it sounded like a Sorcerer Mickey hand. Mickey had just like a milk saucer or something,
no,
rather than a sorcerer. I liked it.
Did you?
Okay.
I'm a U-Jersey. I liked it, and I tell you what I don't like is the word Siemens projected across it.
Oh, yeah. It's horrible, isn't it?
They do that at
That's
night
awful.
And that
it, yeah. That's tacky.
Although I giggle like a schoolboy, but there you go.
I never liked the wand. I was never a fan. I suppose I'm a bit of a Disney purist in that sense, that they were defacing Spaceship Earth.
No, it was nice.
No, that hasn't
I wouldn't
changes.
Have to go all the time, but it was nice, you know, for the 2000 and
but
whatever
it was.
It was
there for years. It wasn't like it was.
It should have moved as well.
I'd been cool if it moved round, wouldn't it? It made it look like Spaceship Earth was moving around. It was an illusion.
Yeah, all right, David Blaine. Thank you very much.
You made it disappear.
Seems are currently the sponsors, and they've made some changes to the ride, to the post show. They have projected it. Now, the thing about Spaceship Earth that I love is the fact that it's classed as a geodesic dome. It's got 11,324 aluminium and plastic alloy triangles on the outside. And does anybody know the reason why they've done this? What's so clever about it?
Yeah, because the water never falls off
it. Exactly. And this is genius. This is one of the things I love about it. It's the fact that you can stand on a spaceship Earth when it's absolutely pelting it down rain, you'll never get wet because they've got the outside layer, which is the aluminum triangles, and then the water seeps through those.
The water what triangles?
What triangles? Triangles. Triangles.
Aluminum.
Yeah. Seeps in through those, goes into the inner skin, and then basically the rainwater runs off there, down through, and is funneled away into World Showcase Lagoon. So you can
that to me just sounds like shoddy builders who said, "Oh, by the way, mate, it's meant to do that."
That's a water butt, isn't it? What we have on
it was John Hench designed it specifically, and I'm pretty certain he used a napkin at the time or something like that when he was coming up with this idea. I just think it's genius the way that that works.
And Dizzy said, "Where are we going to get a napkin that big?"
He made it from paper and it did not work. So the current show scenes that you'll find in the attraction are the following. You've got Starfield, then you've got the face recognition program to start off with. That's a choice where you obviously have your face toe taken. It's also the point where you can choose what language you're going to enjoy the attraction in, which is always quite funny. Another Starfield, and you've got the prehistoric man and cave paintings, the cavemen and the Egyptian temple. That the Phoenician merchants thank the Phoenicians. Remember that, because that's what Julie Dench tells you to do. The Greek math teacher, the Roman road network, the Islamic empire, the cathedral abbey. Then you get the Gutenberg press, Renaissance Italy, the Industrial Revolution, the Age of Invention, the Age of Information, the Tunnel of Facts and Figures, the Spaceship Earth Planetarium right at the top, and the stars, etc. And then you descend down the tunnel, which is where you get to see your future through an interactive
video. You know, if you told a kid that, they wouldn't go on it, would they?
They really wouldn't.
Look, don't worry, look what's there.
Look, we get to see an Islamic empire and a cathedral abbey. And
what you need to say is, oh, you're going to smell barbecue ribs in there, son, come on.
Cave paintings will come to life. It does offer handheld captioning and audio description. You must move from an ECV to a wheelchair to ride the attraction. Let's find out, what is your sort of opinion on this particular attraction? I'm interested to hear what, because different people see it in different ways. Craig, start us off.
Well, there's never a queue to go on there, so it's always nice. It's always a nice thing to either do first or last. I like to do it last on the way out. It's semi-educational, I suppose, in what it's doing. It's quite innovative with, you know, the see your future bit. I mean, I quite enjoy it. I must admit, I don't get so irate at the Judi Dench version as a lot of people have. It's not a thrill ride, and I think that's a lot of the problems with people that go into Epcot expecting thrill rides and they don't get them, and there's a reason for that, because it doesn't have to be. So, I like it. I mean, the kids really enjoy it. I think they look forward to now the picking a completely different country you're from and arguing over what options they're going to pick on the little computer screen at the end, and then running out of time and being given something else and having an epi over it. I like it. I quite like the Egyptian scene.
What are you giving it out of 5?
Oh, of course, yes, we've got to rate them, haven't we? I forgot about that. I think because of the way it looks and the way it is as an icon and everything else, it deserves a 4.
Okay, you go for 4. So, Juz.
Yeah, I could take it or leave it.
All right.
Something to note here as well, it can never be any other ride, by the way, because the actual ride construction is actually part of the fabric of the building.
There was a rumour, wasn't there, of them turning it into a roller coaster called Time Racers and then ripping everything else out.
Can't do it. It's all part of the same building. It'll all fall apart. It holds the aluminium up, apparently. I could sit and ride this forever. Just leave me on it and I'll go round and round. I adore it. I think it's amazing. I don't know what it is. It just sums up Disney. I love the music. I love it all. Love the barbecue ribs bit. I just think it's incredible. Ruined it a bit with a stupid touchy thing at the end. I just preferred the music and, you know, you go, oh, yeah, that sums up life. Oh, perhaps because I'm old as well. I'd give this 6 out of 5. It just is awesome. And I don't know why I could ride it till the cows come home.
Now, am I the only one who gets a feeling? You know when you sort of go on holiday to the seaside with old people and they're too slow, so you say, well, you just sit on the bench and enjoy the sea and we'll come back and get you later sort of thing. Is this what your kids do to you in Epcot? They stick you on Spaceship Earth at the beginning.
They give me a little blankie over my legs and off I go.
And just leave him for the rest of the day.
They tip the fellow there and goes, just let Grandad be okay.
So you're giving it
I complain as I go past, I go, Sonny, slow it down. This is probably sums up Walt Disney is a concept for me. It's one of those rides you sit there and go, this is it, this is Disney.
You see, I don't understand all these people who are saying, oh, it's been ruined, they've taken Jeremy Irons out, it's never going to be the same.
What do you mean Jeremy Irons isn't there? Jeez.
No, can you believe it?
Has Walter Matthau gone? I hope he's still there.
I admit that the script that they use for Judi Dench has been dumbed down a little bit, and it's almost a little more kiddie than it was before, but I don't think that's a problem. I don't think the script is an issue. I think Judi Dench still does a very good job, and there's a lot of people I think who wanted Jeremy Irons, he went, they weren't happy about it, and they've therefore got something against Judi Dench. It's a bit like the Stitch's Great Escape, you know, that people don't like it because of what it replaced rather than the fact that what the actual attraction is. And I think this is the same. They just don't like Judi Dench because of what it replaced, and I don't think that's necessarily right. But it's a great attraction. It's one of those things that you have to ride at least once on a trip. I just remembered riding it again and again and again as a child when my dad used to love this attraction. We used to have to just keep going on it again and again. And I didn't appreciate it as much when I was younger. I definitely appreciate it more now I'm older than I did when I was a lot, like, younger. So we just decided it was suitable for... Are we taking babies on this?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, toddlers.
They wouldn't be scared by it. Yeah,
cold. Scared by it, whether they'd enjoy it or not. Tweens.
Yeah.
Teens.
Yeah. Oh. Yes, because I think teens see something different in it, and so do tweens. Yeah.
And 20s to 40s were saying yes, and 40s plus were saying yes. So,
hold on, are you missing an age gap? You've gone from toddlers to tweens, didn't you?
That's right, babies.
Yeah, because that's the last time Adam saw Harry, and that'd be the next time he sees Harry.
Tweens is in between teens and toddlers.
It isn't. There's toddlers, then there's, I presume, juniors. Then tweens is the marketable area just before teens.
That's 10 to 13, isn't it? 10
to 13, which is the Disney
capture. They've got babies, toddlers.
They've got teenagers, haven't you? That's what they're called, aren't they?
Is that what it is?
Not just juniors. I'm trying to think what the prime is. Juniors.
Silliness.
Juniors is fine, isn't it? I love juniors. It's fine about the 3 to 10-year-olds, i.e. my children.
He skipped your children.
Yes.
I know, he hates them. He told me that.
I do. That's true. Yes, no. That's why I came to see them in the World Cup of Karate, because I hate them. That's exactly.
No, they came to you, really, let's be honest.
We haven't been an update on, actually, at all, have we? But we won't get Craig started on that either, because we'll be here forever. Right, let's talk about Project Tomorrow, which is the post-show area of Spaceship Earth. Now, it's got some really cool stuff in it, and it's got some not-so-cool stuff in it. There's the illuminated globe, which you're able to basically find yourself on, because as soon as you've located yourself on the interactive screens, it puts you into the database, you can see where you are. You can also find your video, your like postcard of the future, and you can send that to people as well.
There's this massive
globe that sends things. There's a body builder, which is a 3D game allowing guests to build a digital human body. There's a super driver, which is a driving simulation game, which features vehicle accident and avoidance systems. And it stimulates what is supposed to be the future of driving. And you can drive a smart car and try to stop the city from being destroyed. They've got Power City, which is a large digital shuffleboard-style game where guests have to race around the board to the power of their city. They can sort of stand on it, that sort of stuff. And there's something called Inner Vision as well, which is a coordination and reaction time game that uses elements that are similar to the game Simon and also Dance Dance Revolution. So there's a load of stuff in there. People spent much time in Project Tomorrow.
It's too busy. I go and get the video and send it home. I take a picture of ourselves on the big screen using the cameras we've got, and then we get out, because it's just too, there's not enough there, and there's too many people there.
Yeah, Dunks.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Jazzy. It's busy, and with as a kind of it's our last thing before we're going home. At that point, I just want to get out really, so I kind of do the ride and to scuttle off.
Yeah, because there aren't necessarily enough things there for the people who want to use them. You end up standing there for ages, and then you've got a little kid who jumps in front of you and sits down in a seat, and you're like, hang on a second, what's going on? But I like some of the stuff that's in there. Like you say, the big screen's good. We had to go at the super driver, I think, when we were there as well. I had a few go at those bits and pieces. It's well worth, you know, stopping and having a look. There's also... Epcot has got a website for Project Tomorrow as well, which you can go and enjoy, so you'll find it on the internet. Right, let's head into Future World then. We're actually going over to what they call Future World East, and it's also known as the Logic half of the park. Do you guys know this?
Yes.
So basically, when Epcot was originally built, it was built so that you had the left and the right side of the brain, just as Epcot has the left and the right side of the park. Future World left is the logic sort of half, and Future World well, Future World East is the logic half, and Future World West is the creative half. So if you walk into the park, and the first thing you do, you turn towards your left, you can see, and in fact, if you're listening to the podcast now, do this, pause the podcast right now, go to Google Maps and bring up Epcot, and you'll see something that you may have never seen before.
Unless you're driving, and don't
Unless
be doing
you're driving,
that.
Then don't do that, yeah. That's not good. But if you look at the map, you'll see that on the left-hand side of the park, every single path is in a straight line. It's logical. The whole point is it's all in a straight line to all of the different attractions. But if you look at Innoventions West, you'll actually find all of the paths are higgledy-piggledy. They're curved. They're not all entirely straight. That whole creative idea. So take a look at the map. If you've not seen it before, Dunks has just fallen over something else.
I was looking at the window because I thought I heard something. And at the same time, trying to look at Google Map thing at the first place, and it's given me first choice Orpington, which probably isn't what Epcot wanted, is it?
No, that's not right. But you
Epcot near England.
Very, very clearly, on one side you've got straight lines, that's Epcot Innoventions East and Future World East, and on Future World West it's all very curvy lines.
Do you know what? There's an Epcot in Darlington, there's Epcot Design Limited in London, and an Epcot Kitchens Limited.
And all of this information is brought to you by October Law.
Epcot USA. There we go. Oh, yeah. It's a golf ball. That's what I want.
That's the one. But yeah, you will see that the paths are straight on one side and curly on the other. So there you go. That's exactly what it is. Logic. And if you look, they're straight, all supposed to, they're very logical, very straight.
Actually, they can't. Well, it depends where you're going to draw the line because the curve round. Are you stopping as soon as we go into that? Okay. I'm going to dispute that.
You see what I mean?
I'm going to dispute this.
You're going to dispute it, are you?
Because I think where Christian threw up in his logical part of his brain,
yeah,
it was curved going into the toilets.
You're going for the toilets. Okay. No, it's straight line. Right where the toilets are.
No, nope, it isn't.
Straight. And exactly what you're talking about, and that's definitely straight.
No, which toilets am I talking about?
You're talking about the ones in Future World East, aren't you? Just down from
No.
Okay, what are you on about then?
The other ones with the curved line.
You're just making it up. Honestly, look at the map. You will see that it's the whole supposed to be there.
I don't need to look at a map. I know Epcot like the back of my hand.
Do you? Where's the back of your hand?
Didn't know that was there.
Anyone else? Judy.
What is petroleum, Alex? What is bituminous? What is solar thermal conversion? What is hydroelectric? What is helium?
Right again. Go.
Right again, Judy. U.S.
Constitution. For stupid Judy, stupid energy. Maybe the universe needs energy, but I don't. I'll take a nap for 100.
So we're going to go to Universe of Energy, and that's where we're sort of going to end up, and we're going to finish today, because it's going to take us forever to ride through the Universe of Energy. It's 45 minutes long. Opened again 1982.
Like Norway.
It has changed. It's Ellen's Energy Adventure now, originally Universe of Energy. So there's been an adaption, a development in the actual ride itself. It offers assisted listening. It offers handheld captioning. Also audio description. And guests must travel from ECV to a wheelchair to enjoy this attraction. Okay, so let's talk about Universe of Energy. I mean, what are your sort of memories of Universe of Energy, Juz? Sort of your earliest memories.
My earliest memories. I liked it.
Now, see, I've always quite liked this. Go on.
My kids found it a bit scary because they were little at that point.
You're talking about dinosaurs?
Yes, right. They didn't like that at all. Because, I don't know, it's funny because you weren't expecting it and they were like, whoosh, and disappeared under your arms. You think, oh, but yes. But no.
Because I remember doing this as a kid and I remember it being 45 minutes. I remember it being longer than 45 minutes. It just seemed like it was an eternity.
It does drag at the beginning, though.
A little bit. But the nice thing is you've got... let's sort of talk through what you get. You get the
racing cars
theatre film, which is Ellen, to start off with. She sets the whole thing up in her apartment. It's quite an entertaining video. Unfortunately, she is starting to look quite old in the sense that the video is starting to look quite old.
Not her,
just the video starting to look quite old because she's looking young and Bill Nye the Science Guy's there, and as cool as he is, he isn't quite as Disney as he was. But you get to see that film start off with. Then you enter into the theatre where you get to sit in the seats. And I can't remember off the top of my head just how many seats each... I suppose you call it a performance? I don't know what you call it. Ride-through performance, I suppose. As you go through, everybody gets to sit in these rows of seating. And you basically... sit in a theatre style to start off with, and there's another video or film that they show you, and then you begin to move forward, and what happens is all the theatre seats, if you've not been on it before, do begin to separate, and they all follow each other into this sort of like giant ride.
Quite cool. Vehicle.
It's very cool the way that it does it, yeah. And then you go into what they call the primeval diorama, which is where we begin to see all of the dinosaurs and that sort of stuff, and it rides through that particular dinosaur scene. You get to see Ellen there as well. She's fighting off one of the dinosaurs, and then that takes you through into another theatre where you get to see the NRG radio, etc. You get to watch another film in there, and then that takes you through to the next theatre where there's one final film that you get to see, and then you get off. Now... basically,
you've just summed up a whole ride.
You have,
45 minute ride in 2 minutes.
Yeah, it literally is lots of things. You got your pre-show films about 8 minutes, then the theatre one load time's about 4 with 6 minutes for the film. Then you go through the diorama, takes about 7 minutes, and then the transition's about another 4 through to the other. The theatre two film is actually 12 minutes long, doesn't seem like it. And then the final film length is 2 minutes before you then get off. 1,746 seats, 697 passenger vehicles per show. There's 3 shows going on at once and a maximum of 586 people per show for those 3 concurrent shows. But it's massive. This thing is absolutely huge. 26 audio animatronics, travelling theatre, and they all travel along a 1/8 of an inch embedded guide wire, which are in the ground, and you follow all those through. It is just phenomenal what they managed to achieve. Bearing in mind this was built in 1982, it is amazing just what they've developed with this. They've got all these...
Do you know what worries me is when you think, I think 1982 is not that old, and then you suddenly think, ooh, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's a long, long time ago.
I've got old.
Yeah, it is quite old.
I thought that was quite modern, that, 1982.
It's got 80-odd thousand photovoltaic solar cells on the roof as well, which pretty much power the entire attraction and a bit more.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there you go. 80,000 cells, which is a huge number of cells.
But then again, I'm quite shocked there, because there's a lot happening to be powered.
Yeah, there is a lot. But yeah, they pretty much power the majority of the attraction, if not all the attraction up there, with all of those cells that are on top, which is pretty impressive, to be totally honest with you. And I just always sort of really enjoyed this attraction. The one downside to it is the fact that it is 45 minutes long, and if you're desperate for the toilet 45 minutes in, tough, because you've got to sit there and hold it for 40 minutes. Don't think, though, that because a show's just gone, you've got 45 minutes to wait. A new show starts roughly about every 17 minutes or so, so you can go every 17 minutes and enjoy a show, so that's not a problem.
So I'd like to see that from backstage, how it works. That's one of those ones you'd like to see run.
It is weird, isn't it? Because you suddenly, you're one facing one way, and then suddenly you're facing another way, and then suddenly you're facing this way and this way. So it is sort of very strange in the sense that you're never quite sure which way you're facing at any one point, because you suddenly realise that you're turning around to face this screen here, and then you go out of that curtain, you're thinking, well, did I come in that curtain, and how is that part of the building there? And it'd be really interesting just to walk the attraction to see how it looks and how it works.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be really cool, but that's just the proper geek inside me coming out again and really wanting to do that. But that'd be cool. What are you giving it out of 5, Juz?
You know, at first I wasn't going to give this much, but you sort of recanted it a bit, and I'm thinking, do you know what? Am I giving it because I think now, talking about it, I think it's really cool from an engineering and I'd love to see it operational, or for the ride itself, and that's my dilemma. Because I want to give it 4 for operation, but it doesn't justify a 4 in its content. So I'm going to go 3.5, because from solely looking at it from a geek point of view, if you were there, you go, this is so cool. Yeah, I know my kids sat next to me were going, Dad, what are we doing?
Yeah.
So that there would be that conflict. So from my personal, I'd love to say four because I love the whole concept of it. But from an entertainment point of view, I'd be tempted to do three. So I'm going to go... it's a long route to get there, 3.5.
But I realise I've not given a score for Spaceship Earth. I'm going to give Spaceship Earth 4 out of 5. But Universe of Energy, I'm sort of going to go with you, I think. I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5. Because if we actually went to our categories of who it's suitable for... Babies, well, it doesn't matter. Babies aren't going to get it.
Apart from the dinosaur bit.
For the dinosaur bit, it might be a little bit scary for them. But you've got to remember, again, if baby starts crying, you're stuck. You can't
just drop it out of the car. Yeah,
basically. Toddlers, again, might find the dinosaurs a little bit scary, depending on how much they know about dinosaurs. Twins, probably getting a little bit better by that point. But you've got to remember, the subject matter is about energy and the changes and adaptions of energy. And although the attraction is funny in places, the subject matter can get...
And it is funny.
It is funny, but can get a little bit heavy at times. So just be aware that, again, if they do get bored 10 minutes in, they've got 35 minutes to sit there and continue getting bored, they cannot get out. Teens, I think, yeah, they're starting to get a little bit more interested by that point, certainly later teens, unless they're too cool for school.
Yeah.
And then you've got your 20s to 40s, which is definite yes, and then your 40s plus, which is also a definite yes. So that's pretty much all we're going to do for Around the World this week, because very aware we're actually running a longer show already. But I don't think there's anything else you want to say about those two attractions before we move on, before we finish?
No, the whole of Epcot is awesome. I'm glad we're here.
Yes, I'm glad we're here as well, and we're going to continue.
And don't think of it as education. Epcot is an awesome place to go.
It is, and it's a brilliant day out, really enjoyable, and we're going to hopefully delve into more and more of the information history about all of the attractions as we go through. We've got the whole of Future World to do, as well as Innoventions East and West, and then we've got to move on to World Showcase, so we're certainly going to be in Epcot for some time with regards to this. Well, that's it. That pretty much rounds up the show. Thank you once again for joining us. Thanks to our sponsors, Columbus Vacation Vivers. You can find them at columbus-vacations.com. Thanks to Juz.
Absolute pleasure. Me,
and Craig, who's had to nip off, unfortunately.
Ain't it? What's up?
Make sure you email us questions, comments, and suggestions to podcast@disneybrit.com. I actually answered a question today from Pete, who was asking about Vinylmations, where you get them from in the UK.
So you make it sound like a bit of a thing. I actually answered a question today, which usually just ignores you.
We answered this question about how to get Vinylmations in the UK. So do send them, because we do respond to them. And if we get a load of them, then we'll probably do a listener show as well, a listener question show, those bits and pieces.
We've done one of those for ages, haven't we?
We haven't done one of those for ages. We do need to do one of those again. Make sure to check out the website, DisneyBrit.com. All of the latest news and rumours are all over there. We post all of the podcasts and radio shows and that sort of stuff over there as well. Check out our Facebook page, our Disney Brit fan page. You can friend up myself, Juz, and Craig. And don't forget Mouse Mag. Download Mouse Mag from magcloud.com. You can get issue 3 is available over there now. You can also get it on the iPad app as well. There's an iPad app for MagCloud. Go and find that. You can leave us a review on iTunes. Please do continue to leave us a review on iTunes. People have, and it's really useful because people who don't know the show get the chance to have a listen. Also, check out our YouTube channel, Disney Brit Podcast. Search for that. You'll find a load of stuff over there. And we are still on Heartbeat Radio, heartbeatradiousa.com, on a Friday evening. If you're listening in the UK, 10 until 11 p.m. is the Iron Orlando radio show, and 11 to midnight is the Destination Disney radio show. So that's 5 to 6 Orlando time, and then 6 till 7 for Destination Disney. You can also find all of those over on iTunes as well. You can go to ironorlando.com. You can listen to Iron Orlando over there too. Don't forget to go over to discot.net. You can still join our social media, Disney social media pages over there, and join in with everything that's going on. And that's pretty much it. That rounds up the show, and all I've got to tell you is that the next show will be available from Wednesday, the 3rd of August. So until then, we'll see you.